This call is being recorded.
Hello, everyone. This is Renee Rentmeester. I'm the creator and executive producer of the Cooking Without Looking TV show. We feature people who are blind and visually impaired on our show and on our podcast. And we like to say we're changing the way we see blindness. Today, I'm here with Dan Lohr of Toledo, Ohio. Dan, how's it going this morning?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
48 years old. I have two daughters, both in their 20s. One's a college graduate working on another degree, and one's working. Been married for more than half of my life.
Well, that's an interesting way of saying life happened.
Life happened quickly. I got married when I was really young, like 18.
Like right
after I graduated high school. So
I think I was still playing with Barbie dolls, but no, go on.
My wife and I've been together for 29 years, and
that's great.
Let's see.
So tell us a little bit about your blindness journey. Were you blind from birth?
Yes. Yeah. Blind since birth.
Okay. And so were you put into a regular school, or were you put into a school?
No, I went to a school for the blind from the age of five, and lived there. I was home on the weekends or some weekends. When I was really young, every weekend, and then as I got older, every other weekend, and then sometimes less than that because of athletics and things like that. So,
well, you know what? I always wonder about this. As a child, what did you think when you lived mostly in another place that wasn't with your parents and the rest of your family? What were your thoughts on that?
I think at first, obviously at first it was overwhelming, living at home until the age of, basically until the age of five. And then all of a sudden, I think I remember my parents talking about it with like other family members, but then, I wasn't really a part of that particular conversation. But then when the reality hit, it was quite shocking because it was overwhelming at first, but eventually it just sort of became the norm. I think there are things that you miss, obviously, growing apart from your family. There are definitely things that you miss, but depending on your family's dynamic, I think you can work around it. But there are certainly things that you miss, and I think there are certain things that they miss. By having they're a child that's growing up separate from them. But in most cases, I kind of feel like if it's something that has to happen for the benefit of the child, then it needs to.
Right, right. Well, if your child had to do that, what would you do? Would you put them in regular school, or would you put them in the school for the blind?
Well, we almost considered that with both of them. It was an option, and I think that if it would have been needed, I believe that we would have probably made the same decision and did it. I mean, I think because I had done it, I lived that life. I'm not going to say it would have been easy for me to make the decision to do it, but I think I could have made the decision to if I had to.
Are your children also blind, Dan?
They do have some mild visual impairments, but they're not legally blind, no.
Ah, okay. So that's interesting. It's something that runs in your family?
On my wife's side.
Ah, okay. And is your wife blind as well?
She's visually impaired. She's visually impaired. Like a high partial.
Ah, you know what? It's interesting because I think there are a lot of sighted people out there who often can't even imagine people who are blind or visually impaired being married to each other and what the dynamics of that relationship must be like.
And on the same token, sighted, it probably works the same way for us,
Right. Yeah, it's a funny thing because something that's so common, and we tend to think of, imagine the other side, what they're like, and try and understand that.
Well, I think that's why a lot of relationships between blind and visually impaired persons, I think that's why they work out. We understand each other from that standpoint.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because I think if someone were fully sighted and married to a person, although I've seen that work too, I've
I
seen
have
that.
also, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, and I know that one of the first ladies on our show, her husband, she was totally blind. She became totally blind from the diabetic retinopathy. And then her husband was fully sighted, but he had the patience of Job. She was very independent, but I think we all, whether we're sighted or not sighted, sometimes need some help from each other. We have to admit that.
Well, I think the key of I think one of the things about independence is, first of all, doing what you can for yourself when you can, but then also realizing that there are resources available to you. If and true independence is also knowing how to seek out those resources.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Do you find it easier now that there are more resources now that you're older, or you find it easier to find resources?
Absolutely. It's a lot different than it would have been, because we didn't have, obviously, growing up, we didn't obviously have the tech that we have now, and that so and it's been a huge game changer.
Yes, I always say that the all this new technology actually opens
And
up the whole world.
there's still a long ways to go. There's still a long ways to go, but it's the gap is starting to narrow, I think.
I think so. There are things like Be My Eyes and all the different things that you can,
Oh
travel
yeah,
around.
Be My Eyes and Aira and what's there was another one in goodness, there's an, I can't remember the name of it now.
There's one in London I'm familiar with, and I think it's a great idea to go anywhere. They're just starting up in London, and it's called VIP,
Okay.
visually impaired people. But I love the way they did that, VIP. And what they do is they find a person, like if you're going to take a tour or something of London, and you're blind or visually impaired, you can call them up and they will find someone to pair you with to actually walk you around town.
That would be pretty awesome. That would be pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's only in London now, but I've been like talking to them and seeing, what they can do because I know that would be so tremendous all over the world.
That would be awesome.
So you like to cook, Dan?
I think cooking just sort of became something I did, well, out of necessity. We all got to eat, and
Right.
but I found that there were a few things that I just was became. There were a couple of things once I, when I started cooking, that it just sort of, and a lot of the stuff I learned by trial and error, and I found, hey, wait a minute, this works, and so
Or, you just didn't like the way other people made it, so you made it for yourself.
well, there's that.
Hey, we can be frank here. It's an open forum, I've felt that. We've all felt that. You know what? I could do a little bit better with this. I let me try it myself.
Think I want it this way, right? Exactly.
What kind of experiences have you had while you were cooking?
Well, experiences as in,
Good or bad, or indifferent or funny.
well, the I think one of the coolest thing that happened was I actually made the chili that you got the recipe for, I believe.
Yes, we'll go over that in a couple minutes. That's
amazing chili. It's delicious. And when I made it before, when I started making it, I actually made it with ground venison.
Oh.
Yeah, my family are avid outdoors people, and my dad used to hunt deer. And so we always had deer meat, you know, venison available. And sure. So I used that as instead of the ground beef or ground chuck. But one thing was really cool is I made it for a family reunion once. It was one of the first times I'd actually taken a dish, you know, that wasn't already like pre-done, like, you know, like, I don't know, like chips or pop or, you know, something like that. But you could just go to the store and buy, right? So,
right.
I made this chili, for the, our family reunion, and I took it there. And, let's put it this, I did not bring back very much. I think maybe there was like a bowl or two left when I got there.
Oh,
but the really cool thing was, we're sitting there and we're eating, and this young kid, mid teens, I think, comes up and he's like, man, he's like, I won't quote him directly, but he's like, who made this chili? And, he was going on and on about it. He's talking to, I was at a table with, some of my cousins, and I think my mom was there, and, you know, stuff. And he's like, man, this chili is like really good. He's like, oh, I made that. And he's like, what? He's like, that is, I don't think he noticed at first that, you know, that I am blind. Cause I don't wear glasses or anything like that. So,
sure.
Right. So, he's like, it's really good. What he was doing was he was taking it and putting it over Doritos, which that a lot. Yeah, I do that a lot. When I make it, I serve it with you can have I serve it over like you can like crumple tortilla chips. So I do that and then put like shredded cheese on top. It's really good that way.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So it was really cool to actually make it, and I actually did it 2 years in a row.
And you said he was a teenager?
Yeah, he was pretty 15.
Well, that's a huge compliment in and of itself to get a teenager to like tell you how wonderful your cooking is. It's like, whoa, what
right,
planet
right.
am I on right now, you know?
Yeah, right.
Oh man, well, you share that recipe. You, when I noticed that you had sour cream and cheese, I continued reading. So,
well,
I'm from Wisconsin, so you know, if you have cheese,
oh,
and sour
yeah,
cream,
yeah. Okay,
please,
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. It's got to be the most excellent recipe of life.
Oh, I don't have the recipe in front of me.
You can just throw it out there. I just put
like,
it out.
It's like, and this makes a lot. So, you know, this is, I've not figured out how to break it down. You know, but, I use like, it takes like 3 pounds of ground beef or ground chuck. And then you use, I cheat a lot. the onion, I use an onion pepper mix. They're frozen. And what I do is about halfway through cooking the meat is I add that in. You know, so that they cook in with the ground beef, and then I drain that out. When it's done, it takes about, I don't know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, something like that. I just, a lot of times, I guess, or I have somebody come and look at, hey, is this, you know, look done? And then I add. I use these packets. They have the different spices in them that are all, you know, that are all make, you know.
Sure.
I usually use the Walmart kind.
Yeah. Great value.
Or I use, yeah, right, right. Or I think it's McCormick. I think I got some of that in the drawer in the right now, but And what I like to do is I do like one hot and one mild in the same, you know. So it's spicy, but it's not too spicy that most people can, you know, most people can eat it without setting themselves on fire.
Exactly.
Now, personally, if it were me, I'd make it hot. I mean, you know, but I can't do that a lot of times. But if it were just me, I would make it hot. So I put actually I put the packets in last, the seasoning packets in last, because I add my liquids and stuff. So then I use a 20, I can't remember what the ounces on it. It's a tomato puree.
Oh, yes.
I either use that or another way to do it is I'll use like Campbell's tomato soup.
Oh.
And I'll put that in there for the base. And I don't dilute it. Just I think it's you can get like.
You've got 2 10-ounce cans diced tomatoes with green chilies and
Right,
one
you add.
tomato puree.
Right. So you use the one the puree, then you add the chilies, the tomatoes and chilies. And then you add the sour cream. It's like an 8 ounce container of sour cream.
Oh, you put it right in there.
Yeah, I do. What that also does is it cuts the acid
Right. Oh, that's a
from
great idea.
the tomatoes, you know. Because
Yeah.
obviously, you know, tomatoes are, you know, it's pretty acidic. And if you have like chronic heartburn or whatever, something, and which I do,
Yeah.
I love spicy food, but I pay for it dearly.
Sounds like a commercial for Tums.
So I put the sour cream in and I cook it in every, you know, just put it all in there. And then I add the dark red kidney beans. And then I add the packets. And you need a big pot to do this, like a big Dutch oven or something, because it's a lot.
Right. Just the 3 pounds of ground beef is like that says a lot right there.
Oh, right, exactly. And like I said, you know, I've not figured out a way to totally break it down. I'm sure there's a way out there, but I just haven't. The cool thing is when I've made it, been making a lot of it because, like I said, I took it to the reunions, a couple of the family reunions, and I've made it when I've had company over.
Do you
You know,
freeze it at all, Dan?
if there's any left. After a couple of days, it's usually gone. So I've not had. I suppose I could do that, but I've not had to. So,
Wow.
but I let it simmer. You got to kind of stay at it and stir it kind of often so that it doesn't, you know, start to stick or anything like that. 20 minutes, half an hour. So the You want to make sure the kidney beans, the beet are like nice and soft.
Sure.
And it's a thick soup anyway. You know, I like something that you eat it and you know you've eaten something, you know. It's because there's a lot in it, you know.
Have you ever tried this in the slow cooker, minus the sour cream, like putting the sour cream in at the end?
I've not tried it that way. I don't even own a slow cooker.
Oh, okay. That's okay. We won't hold that against you.
I haven't tried it that way. Actually, wait, yes, I have, because what I've done is I cooked it without the sour cream, and then I put what I would sometimes do is I would have it available, and you could eat it. You could put the shredded cheese and your tortilla chips, and then your shredded cheese, and you could put sour cream on top of on top of it. So I've done it that
Right.
way.
Right. Oh, yeah, that sounds great. Well, so I guess what kind of a dessert do you ever have, like dessert with it? Something simple or
Well, the problem is usually by the time everybody's done eating it, we're all full. So,
I can imagine that. I can imagine that.
Yeah, because there's a lot, like I said, there's a lot in it, and there's it, you know, it's thick, it is filling. So usually I haven't done that, but just for the simple fact of the matter is, by the time we've had a bowl or two of that, we're done.
You're stuffed. Well, what other things do you have in your cooking repertoire?
Oh, I don't know. You know, to be honest, I mean, that's one of my biggest ones there is the chili. Thing about ground beef and onion and salt and pepper and garlic is you can use it in just about anything and everything. So it's great. So I'll make spaghetti with it, you know, or you know, whatever. I like pasta. So I
Sure.
like different, you know. Oh, let's see. I don't know. Usually, like I said, I think that, you know, cooking was just okay. It was something I did because I had to. And over, I don't know, over time, I just, hey, wait, this works. I'm gonna try to make this, and it worked out.
Yeah, most definitely. And then you probably improve upon it each time you make it, or you have a new idea to,
Oh
throw.
yeah, it doesn't stay the same. The only thing that I've stayed consistent with is the chili. Well, and even that, it started out differently than what it has become. I don't remember how I started doing it, but what ingredients I used way back when, because it was a long time ago. So yeah,
Well, don't you love
but.
how, like, sometimes recipes evolve? Like, each time you make it, you think of, you know what? This would taste good in there. And let me try it the next.
Oh, absolutely. 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 Like I've been wanting to add, I don't do it because you know, I sometimes you get people who can't have spice or who can't do a lot of spice. But what I'd really like to do is add more spice to it. Some I don't know, some jalapenos or something like that.
Perhaps.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Sometimes if I've got them, I'll just make them available. So here, I got some hot sauce. Sometimes I'll use the instead of tortilla chips, I'll use the Fritos, the jalapeno Fritos scoops.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Oh, that's really a friend of mine suggested that actually. A friend of mine, her and her boyfriend. Came over for dinner, and he had had my chili before, and sort of bragged it up a little bit, and she's like, "Well, what if we tried this?" And I went, "Wow!" And so I'm like, "Yeah, that sounds really good." So we did that, and oh, it was really good.
Oh man, yeah, that just sounds great. I don't know if I've seen the one with the hot peppers in, but that would be really wonderful. And you know what? You could almost use this for like a little taco or a burrito too. Just throw some of that in a burrito and fold it up.
Oh sure, absolutely, or do it like a taco salad, I suppose too.
Oh yeah, that would be
Throw you know
great.
throw some yeah, it would be. It's pretty versatile, and in my own okay, my own unprofessional, totally biased opinion, very tasty.
Totally unbiased, Dan. Totally unbiased.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Well, what are like your philosophy? What's your philosophy of life? If you were to meet a person who was newly blind or knew they were going blind, what would you tell them?
Don't stop living. Yes, you may be blind, you may be going blind, but it certainly isn't the end of the world, and you don't have to let it be the end of your world. Keep living, enjoy the things that you enjoy, do the things that because there, you know, if you research and that there are obviously still ways to do some of the things, maybe not all of them, but there are still ways to do some of the things that you used to do before. Don't close your mind to new opportunities, to learn new stuff. Most of all, keep living and don't shut yourself away from the world. Because it's just, to me, it's just no way to do it. I'm not sure if that was.
No, that's great. That can be for any of us, really. It's true. Sometimes we shut ourselves off or we find other reasons to stop living. And then I think that's a really good thought. I appreciate that, Dan.
Yeah, I came from my family was pretty supportive, and they pretty much insisted that while, yes, I am blind, I'm going to have as, well, quote unquote, normal as a life as possible. And I've done all right. So.
Well, there's something I always think of. One of the ladies who came to our show, she actually was blind and she was in a wheelchair. And she had a bumper sticker on her wheelchair that said, my disability is normal for me. It's like, yeah, you're right. Everybody's normal is different, isn't it?
Yeah, everybody has their own normal. Absolutely.
So if anyone wants to reach out for you, we're going to put your recipe up tomorrow on the www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. But okay. If anyone wants to reach out to you personally after this, how can they reach you?
My email address is dlore4@gmail.com. I don't have I'm on Facebook. I'm not on Twitter or anything like that. Really not a big social media guy.
You're antisocial.
I don't know about antisocial. I'm anti-drama, maybe not anti-social.
I think I've reached my limit on social media. Even Instagram, it's like, no, not one more, please. I just put a couple things. I feel overwhelmed.
I'm not on Instagram or Twitter. I'm not on any of that. I haven't done TikTok. I don't have a YouTube channel. I look at Facebook, but barely. So email is probably the best way. And then we can, go from there. But, if you want to exchange email addresses at first, we want to exchange phone numbers. That's fine. We'll take care of that later, but, whatever, but that's probably the best way to, my email address.
Okay, Dan. Well, thank you so much for being a part of our Cooking Without Looking TV show podcast today. And thank you for helping us change the way we see blindness.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Most definitely. Have a wonderful day.
You as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Mm-hmm.